And our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. This is a parable that Jesus is telling about laborers in the vineyard. So I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them out into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have spent the summer looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians that if we're living our lives according to the Spirit of God, desiring the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh or the things of this world, then our lives will be characterized by certain things, by love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness. And this week, we add to that list generosity. That if we are living our lives according to the Spirit of God, our lives will be characterized by generosity to our neighbors. Now, when we hear the word generosity, I would bet that most of us right away associate that with money. That we're called to give our money and be generous with our money. But that is only part of the picture. Money is just one of the things that we're called to be generous with. There is a whole lot more. There are ways in which we can be generous with our food and our time, our abilities, our words, our forgiveness, and our love. Because even if someone does not have any money, right? They don't have a penny to their name, they can still be generous. Generosity does not depend on what we have. It depends on who we are. There are plenty of people who have it all, but they're not generous. Now, if I asked you what the opposite of generosity is, what would you say? What's thoughts on that? Opposite of generosity, what comes to your mind? Stingy? Okay, so stingy, kind of keeping for ourselves. Anything else? Greedy, did I hear? Greedy, thank you. Greedy, getting more and more for ourselves. Selfishness, yeah. Instead of giving to others, we're either taking more for ourselves or we're holding on to what we have. But why do we keep for ourselves? I think there's something deeper going on here. What motivates us to take more and more for ourselves, or what motivates us to hold on to what we have? I think that the root of selfishness and greed, the thing that motivates us to be selfish and stingy and greedy, is fear. Because generosity comes from a place inside us that trusts that there is enough to share. But fear comes from a place that says, maybe there isn't. Maybe I should get more. Maybe I should just stash a little bit away. Maybe there's nothing. not enough. The opposite, generosity, is fear. We see that at work in our reading from Exodus. The people of Israel, they've been set free from slavery in Egypt, where even though they were slaves, they had plenty to eat. Now they're out in the wilderness, and they have nothing. So they start complaining. God hears their complaints and says, I will give you meat in the evening, and I will rain down bread from heaven in the morning, and each day you shall go out and gather enough for that day. Don't take more than you need, God says, just enough for that day. On the sixth day, you should gather twice as much, 2 days' worth, so that you can take the seventh day off as the Sabbath. So the people get up in the morning and find that God has indeed provided them with bread. Moses tells them, again, he reminds them, gather as much as you need for today. Tells them exactly how much to take, gives them a measurement. But some of the people gathered more, which left others with less. But it says, when they got back, those who gathered more had nothing over, and those who gathered less somehow had as much as they needed. God evened it all out. Some people didn't eat all of theirs. They kept it for the next day because they were worried. They were afraid. They weren't sure if this was going to happen again the next day. Maybe this was a one-time thing. So let's save a little bit just in case for tomorrow. And the next morning they found that what they kept had gone bad and God had provided more. So they did this every day for 40 years. And over time they learned to trust that God would give them what they needed to live each day. And that's what we're invited to hear in this story too. That God will give us what we need to live each day. Maybe not everything that we want, maybe not as much money or food or time or whatever as we want, but as much as we need to live and do what God is calling us to do. Now we hear that, and it sounds good, right? But I would bet there's a part of us that says, there are some people, a lot of people, here in our community and around the world, who do not have enough. People without homes or health care or any money, around 25,000 children in the world will die of starvation-related illnesses today. Where is their manna from heaven? Why doesn't God provide what they need to live? But what if God has, and like some of the Israelites in this story, we've taken more than we need, leaving others with less? I saw a study that said in order to provide every single person in the world with water and basic nutrition and medical care, it would cost around $30 billion a year. Now we hear that, and that's a lot of money. Until you consider that in America we spend almost 10 times that amount each year on fast food. In America we represent about 5% of the world's population, and yet we consume almost half the world's resources. 5% consuming half. And there are some people who say, you know, we worked for that. We earned that. We created and developed a lot of these resources, so we should be entitled to use them. And the people of Israel felt that way too. After wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, right before they arrive back home in Israel, they're just about to cross over into the Promised Land, and right as they're about to do that, God stops them. And says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, as you go into this land, do not say, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth. God has given us the ability to work. God has given us minds to come up with new ideas and new resources. God has given us talents and abilities that we use to make a living. all that we have, all that we are, is only because God has given it to us. The clothes that you're wearing are a gift. The roof over your head, here and at home, are a gift. The food that you eat is a gift. The breath that you just took is a gift. And God is saying, don't think that you've done all this on your own or that you're somehow entitled to it. Remember who it came from and live in ways that are grateful. Because our lives are a gift given out of the goodness and the grace of God. Jesus tells this parable about a wealthy landowner. Goes out 6 a.m., hires laborers to work in his vineyard, agrees to pay them a certain amount. Goes back out at 9 o'clock and hires more, and then at noon and 3 o'clock and hires more, and then at 5 o'clock he hires more and says, just give me one good hour of work. When it comes time to pay them, he pays them all the same. The ones who work 1 hour get the same as those who work 12 hours. Well, that's not fair, right? If you've been working out in the hot sun, breaking your back all day long, and someone else just comes in and helps you clean up at the end, shouldn't you get more than them? So the workers complain to the landowner that this isn't fair. And the landowner says, I gave you what I said I was going to give you. We agreed to this. Why do you care what I give them? It's mine. I can do with it what I want to. There's enough for everyone. This parable is not about fairness. It's about goodness. It's about God's goodness and generosity. Grace is not about getting what you deserve. It's about getting what you need, but have done nothing to deserve. It's given to you anyway, out of the goodness of God. Both of these stories, manna in the wilderness and Jesus' parable, they are stories of God's goodness and generosity and love. And if we are living according to the Spirit of God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, that means we are living in ways that reflect God's goodness and generosity and love to others, ensuring that everyone gets not what we think they deserve, but what they need to live and be whole and feel loved. It's about God's goodness to us, and because we experience that goodness and generosity and love, we are good and generous and loving to each other. Because we trust that God is going to provide us with everything we need to live, so we don't need to cling to what we have out of fear. These stories show us that God hears complaints born out of fear and anxiety and injustice and hunger and lack. And God responds with grace and goodness and generosity. And the question for us is, will we hear the complaints and cries of our neighbors and respond in a way that provides for their needs? Generosity is driven by our experience of the goodness and the grace of God. God gives us what we need to live so we can give to others. It's trusting that God will give us enough time to do what God needs us to do today. And so we can take this piece of our time and give it to this person without worrying that there's not going to be enough. We trust that God will provide. If God will give us enough food to eat, so we can take this extra food and give it to someone else without worrying that there won't be enough because we trust God to provide. God has given us the ability to work, to make money, and we have all that we need to live today. So we can take some and share it with someone who doesn't have enough because we trust in God's ability to provide. God has given us forgiveness, so we can take that and share it with someone who needs it. God has given us love, so we can take that and share it with someone who needs it. Being generous means that we trust in God's ability to provide, and we live without fear. The other month, we sent a group of people down to Puerto Rico on a mission trip, youth and adult leaders. And when they came back, Libby Dalrymple told us a story about Paola, the woman whose home they were working on there. And this was a woman, her home had been destroyed by the hurricane that swept through, and she had lost so much. But each day, she prepared a meal for all the people who were there working on her house. She didn't have much, but she trusted that God would give her what she needed to live. And that trust made it possible for her to be generous with what she did have. Jesus says, "Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink or what you'll wear. Life is more than food and clothing. God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and God will take care of you." He says God knows what you need to live, and God is more than able to provide it. Do we believe that? Not just do we hear those words and understand it and it makes sense to us and it seems like a good, faithful sentiment, but do we really believe that? Are we willing to base our lives on that? Are we willing to work with our money and our time and our food and everything else about our lives based on that promise? Because that's where the rubber hits the road. It's one thing for us to say, "I believe that God will provide for me." It's another thing to say, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to take this step in faith and with no guarantee. This does not look like it's going to work out, but I trust that God is going to give me exactly what I need to do this and to make it through." We believe that. Because when we trust that God gives us what we need to live, then we can stop living out of fear that there won't be enough. And we can be generous with who we are and with what we have. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you have made life possible. We are here because of your goodness and grace and love. Help us not to take that for granted, or just to think of it as an idea. Help us to base our lives on this promise and make this a lived reality that we can trust in your goodness to provide for our everyday needs. Help us to take that step in faith with our time and our relationships and our money and our food and our resources and our forgiveness and love, all that we have, all that we are. Help us to take that step towards you, because we trust that if we do fall, you are going to be there to catch us and set us back on our feet and guide our steps. We don't need to ask for your blessing, Lord, because we have already received it. May we simply bear witness to your blessing and your goodness in the world, so that others might come to see and believe and trust, as we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name that we pray and trust ourselves to you.